The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Nun. Today's Daf is being studied by Elunishmat, Morzikanir B. Yosef Ben Sarah, Abraham Ben Esther. Buhashim Tenehem Began Hayden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for Shalema, Shalomo Ben Miriam, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Bat Rachel. Sarabat Rachel, Elna Refan Lahim, Elna Refan Lahim, Elna Refan Lahim, for the Nefesh, for the Guf, for Atam Kerbalabo. Mechini Rasul Ramad Amen. We begin today's daf on Dafnun Amud Rishon, three lines from the top. Rabbi Akiva, Et Kaddashat Le Barthe de Kalba Sabua. Rabbi Akiva got married to the daughter of a wealthy man. His name was Kalba Sabua. Shema Kalba Sabua, when Kalba Sabua heard that his daughter is marrying Rabbi Akiva, who at the time was an Amaris, he didn't know any Torah. Adra Hana'a Mikol Nikse. He banned him and his daughter from having any Hana'a from his assets. Kalba Sabua, the Gemara says, was one of the wealthiest men. And when he heard his daughter do such a thing, he said, that's it, you're out of the will, you're not getting anything. So she got married to Rabbi Akiva, penniless. Azla, she went with Nasiba, she married him anyway, Bisidva, in the winter, the cold months. Havu ganu betivna. And they didn't even have a place to sleep. They slept in, betivna is like in the house over there of the straw. Which means they slept where the hay is. They didn't even have pillows, they didn't have sheets, they had nothing. They slept on the floor where there was just some tivin. Hava kamankit le tivna bimazia. According to the Ran, Rabbi Akiva had to pluck the pieces of straw out of his wife's hair. Because they were lying on the floor, on the straw. That's how poor they were. Amarla. So Rabbi Akiva tells his wife, it's showing you the Mesirut Nefesh. She was used to living in luxury, but in order to marry Rabbi Akiva, she was willing to sacrifice even to live in dire poverty. So Rabbi Akiva told her at the time, Yehavai li, if I had the wherewithal, Ramin alach Yerushalayim de Zahava, I would give you Yerushalayim shel Zahav. That was a very ornate type of tiara that the ladies, only the rich ladies, would wear. It was like a certain type of jewelry made out of gold. It had like the image of Jerusalem on it. So Rabbi Akiva was saying, if I were able to afford it, I would give you even this Yerushalayim shel Zahav. Ata Eliyahu. So Eliyahu Navi came to visit them. Idme Leon Ke'ansha. He appeared to them as a regular person. Ve'kakari Ababa. And he was calling and banging on the door where they were. Amar Lehu, Havudi Purtad Tivna, please, can you spare some extra straw? Dialadit ittiti. My wife just gave birth. Veletli midam laguna. And I don't have anything even to protect her. Which means I need the straw. He was trying to appease them that there's people that are worse off than them. So what happened? Amarla Rabbi Akiva intetes. Rabbi Akiva tells his wife, Hazeh gabrad afilu tivna lo itle. Look at this guy, he doesn't even have straw. Fahot, we have straw. So see, Eliyahu Navi came now to make Shalom Bayit, in order to, they should be happy at least, so it shouldn't, cause them to have machloket. Amra le, so Rabbi Akiva's wife tells him, Zil have berav. Go study, go to the yeshiva. Azal, so he went, Rabbi Akiva, Tarte Sare Shanin, he studied for 12 years, Kameh Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua. Good, in front of his rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua. The Mishlam Tarte Sare Shanin, after the conclusion of 12 years, Ka'ata Lebete. So he came back home. Shama Min Ahore Bete, he heard from behind his house, the Ka'amar Le Had Rasha Le Debitu. It was one Rasha living in the place there. And he was inciting the wife of Rabbi Akiva. The Rasha tells the wife of Rabbi Akiva, Shapir Avid Lich Abuch. Your father was right what he did, that he took you out of the will. He married this over here person. Hada Delo Dami Lich. Number one, he's beneath you. he's garua. He's you married beneath yourself. And number two, ve'od shapkach armelot hayot kolleon shenim. He left you a living widow all these years, which means he abandoned you for 12 years. He went to study Torah. He didn't call you anything. He left you. You know, you're almana, and your husband is still alive. Amra le itza it nedili. If he would hear me, what I have to say. I would tell him to go back to the yeshiva for another 12 years. Amar, so Rabbi Akiva said, "Who is me? I have the reshuta, since she gave me the permission to go back." He did. I'm going back. That's it. And he didn't even waste any time to make small talk with her. If Chaim Shmulevitz says, very simple, 12 plus 12 is not 24. Which means, if he would have made an interruption, it would have been a break in his learning. He wanted it to be 24 years constant, like it's like keeping a kettle on the fire. When you take it off, on and off, it boils, it gets cold, it gets boiled. Here, he wanted to remain without a hitzik at all. So therefore, he just went straight back without even calling or saying hello to her, and so on and so forth. Hadar azam. He came back. Hadar tabtisane shane ahranaita. Okay, so he went back for another 12 years. He came back with 24,000 students. So the whole place came out to greet Rabbi Akiva, famous now, with all the students. And she also said, I'm going to go out to greet him. But you have to remember, she was poverty stricken. Her clothes were all, you know, ripped and torn. And she was aniya miruda. So it was a marsha'at lady that was living over there. Ve'at lehecha amra. Ve'at lehecha. Where are you going? You're going to look in front of Rabbi Akiva. You're going to go to your husband appearing like this, which means he's not going to find favor in your eyes when you're coming with all these this garment. Where do you think you're? Where do you think you're going? So he comes along and says, she says, amra le. Yodeya sadik nefesh behemto. So the Befashim over here give two interpretations. Number one, the sadik knows his animal, which means he loves his wife. I'm not worried. He knows what I went through. He's not going to, not find favor in my eyes because I'm dressed not in a nice way. He knows me. And the other interpretation is that a tzaddik doesn't embarrass people. What am I worried? A tzaddik's going to embarrass me? Well, he's not going to embarrass me. Even if he doesn't find favor, chas v'shalom, he's not going to embarrass me. So what happened? At that, okay, so she came to appear in front of Rabbi Akiva. They didn't know who she was. They see some lady trying to, you know, push her way through to get to see the great rabbi. So they pushed her to the side. Rabbi Akiva said, leave her alone. Sheli v'shelachem. Shelahu. My Torah and your Torah. It's her Torah. It's her credit. Therefore, leave her alone. She's the cause of all our learning. Shama kalba sabua. So kalba sabua heard about this. Rabbi Akiva came back. Talmid Chacham, 24,000 students. Atav itchil al nidre. He went in order to absolve himself from the neder. He wants to give his son-in-law now the money because he sees his talmid Chacham. Ve'ishtareye ve'ishtare min. Okay, which means he went to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva absolved him. The Ran asks, how can Rabbi Akiva absolve him from the neder? We have a rule, the person cannot absolve a neder that has to do with himself. So how did Rabbi Akiva be the one to give him Hatarat Darim? So Rabbi Akiva, so the Ran answers, the Mefashim say, no, Rabbi Akiva found the loophole and he had another rabbi do the actual Hatarat Darim. What was the loophole? Told him, listen, if you would have known that your son-in-law would have been a Tamir Hakam, would have studied, would you have ever made such a neder? I wouldn't have made such a neder. So the Rishonim ask, that's nolad, which means that was something, when you break a neder, you have to break it with something that was there, facts that were existent at the time. Here, these were facts that were not existent. When he married the Akivaz, married the Kalbasavua's daughter, he was a total Amaris. So the fact that you can break the neder and say, well, had you known that I would have studied the Torah. What do you mean, had you known that I studied Torah? That wasn't even that's something that wasn't there in the world yet. It's called nolad. So the Mefashim answer a few answers. The Ram wants to say, no, when they got married, there was a stipulation that he was going to go study. It was understood he was going to go study, and therefore, for sure, at least he would have studied at least one perik, because that's what Rabbi Akiva said. If you would have known, I would have known even one perik of Torah, Mishnah. Would you have done this? He said, no. So okay, so he could have assumed that. Because really, he was intending to go to the yeshiva, and he's going intending to go to the yeshiva, so therefore, it was there in the world. And the Tosfot says a different answer in Masechet Ketubot, which is a very, very important answer. Tosfot says that it's almost as if there's a hazakah, that if somebody goes to the yeshiva, and he will succeed, which means if a person goes to the yeshiva, and he studies diligently, and he puts his time in, hazakah, he will become a great Talmid Chacham. So that's something that was in the world. Since once already he accepted to go to the yeshiva, so you could assume greatness is going to come out of him. So therefore it was something that was actually in the world itself. Now the Gemara comes along and tells us, so therefore the Gemara says in a different place that Rabbi Akiva ended up getting half the estate of Kalba Savua. I mean, he got a tremendous amount of the money. In any event, comes the Gemara now and tells us, Minshit mile e'atar bi'akiva. Bi'akiva became wealthy on account of six different episodes. Six things made him wealthy. Number one, min kalba sabua. That's from his father-in-law, like we said, they had the money. Min ayala disfinta. From the image of the ram on the boat. We're talking about the image of the ram on the boat. Very simply, in the olden days, they used to be very superstitious. So on boats, any boat that was traveling in the sea, they would make like a wooden figurine of a ram. An ayil is a very fast animal. And that would be like a sigula for the boat to travel fast. And they used to fill up the ram with gold and all sorts of coins. And they would leave it on the boat as like a good luck charm. So what happened? So the Gemara says, "Lechol sifinta avdin minyena." Every boat, they would make like a wooden figurine of an ayil, of a ram, and they would fill it up with dinar zahav. Zimna hada anshiyua al kaf yama. One time when they came to the port, the sailors forgot the item on the port. They forgot it at the place where they embarked. Atahu ashkihay. So Rabbi Akiva came along and found it, and therefore he kept it. The Shittah Mekubetz adds that what happened when Rabbi Akiva found it, he didn't want to keep it. It's not his, so he went and made an announcement. And whoever lost this item, I want to return it. Shabbat Avedah. So when the Goyim, when they saw the honesty of Rabbi Akiva, man is going to return. They never thought that somebody would return such a thing. He said, "You know what? Keep it." Because he made such a kiddush Hashem. Because he saw how honest he was. So he became wealthy from that alone. Because it was filled with dinar zahav. He also became wealthy from the third item, umin gavza. Gavza is also a box that had in it gold and silver and all sorts of treasures. Why? What happened? The zimna chada yehiv arbi azuzeh lisipunae. One time, he gave some sailors four zuz. Buy me something for four zoos. Give me some asset. Give me some item that's worth four zoos. He told the sailors. So what did they find? They saw on the banks of the river, they saw a box. They didn't know there was anything in it. The Ben Ish-Hai says it was a metal box, so it was very heavy. So they thought the heaviness was coming from the weight of the box itself. Little did they know, it was filled with all stuff inside. So they came to Rabbi Akiva, at Yuale, v'amnu le, avid marana ale. Our master should use this here. For four zoos, we got you a box. Shtekach, dava male, dinare. He opened it up, and sure enough, it was filled with all sorts of gold coins. This is nachada, and the Gemara tells the end of the story. Tabaat sifinta, there was a boat that sunk, dimin disukita. There was certain merchants, Ishmaelim merchants, Arab merchants, want a boat, and the boat sunk. When they were on the boat, all their profits from their business, they put in this trunk over here. And then what happened? When the boat sunk, the boat sunk, and the trunk floated ashore. And these guys found it. They brought it to the Rabbi Akiva. Little did they know that all the money was in there, and if we became wealthy from finding it. Umin matronita. And he also became wealthy from the story of the Roman lady. What's the story of the Matronita? So look at the Ran. The Ran brings the story. The Gemara does not bring the story here. The Ran brings it. Look at the Ran on Dafnun Umin Matronita, from the story of the Roman lady. Ran, Amud Rishon, Pamahat. See it? Pamahat, Utslechu Rabbi Akiva Metalmidav Ma'ot. Rabbi Akiva and his students, they needed money. They needed a loan. Malchu Etzel Matronita. So they went to some Hashuv lady, Roman lady. Amra lo Rabbi Akiva, Arini Malve Otach, I'm going to lend you the money. Vitiye Ata Love, you're going to be the borrower. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Veyam Arevim Vadavar. I need guarantors. So I'm making God one guarantor, and the ocean is the second guarantor. Kavala Zeman Peraon. Okay, they made a time for a payment. When the time came, halcha otam matronita asfat hayam. She went to the guarantor. She went to the water. Amra Rebono Shel Olam Galui v'yadu lefaneka Rabbi Akiva chole. Rabbi Akiva at the time was sick. Ve'lo haya b'yado lefroa chobo. He doesn't have the wherewithal to pay back his debt. Re'e she'ata arev b'davar. Listen, we made you a guarantor. Miyad nishtatit bito shel kesar. Somewhere else in Rome, the daughter of the Caesar went crazy. And what did she do? V'natla argaz male abanim tobot v'dinri zahav. She took a chest filled with gold and silver and everything, and she threw it in the water. She went crazy, so she threw the gold and silver into the water. V'zalkad etoch hayam v'ayam v'yato b'makom sheita otam matronita yoshevet asmat hayam. Sure enough, where did it float? Right to the place where this matronita was standing. She got paid back and more. Miyad natla oto argaz v'alchala. The Yamin, days after that, it's appeared Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva got better. Uba lo etze lahim atonita. So he comes to pay his debt. Uma'otab biyado lepiraon, hobo. Amra lo hazarti etze la'arev. Don't worry, you don't got to pay me. I went to the guarantor. The guarantor paid me already. Upara kol ahov. V'ha'elecha mashinatan liyotem. Now did he pay me back the guarantor? He gave me extra. And she was an honest lady. She gave Rabbi Akiva all the extra gold and whatever was in the chest, more than the debt. From that extra money that was in the chest, he became wealthy as well. Umin ishto shel Turnus Rufus. That she also became wealthy, Rabbi Akiva that is, became wealthy from the wife of Turnus Rufus. What's that story? Look at the Ran. Tap Ran and Amud Bet. Umin ishto shel Turnus Rufus. There was a certain Roman philosopher, his name was Turnus Rufus. And he always would argue against Rabbi Akiva with Pisukim and, you know, philosophy and stuff like that. And they would have debates in front of the Caesar. And Rabbi Akiva would always win the debates. And he would, you know, dig him and lace into him with words. He used to, because Turnus Rufus is trying to, you know, deny the Torah and things like this. So Rabbi Akiva would always get him. So one time, Pamahat, Bale Beto, Sar Vezaf. He came home, this Turnus Rufus, all upset, all depressed. And Rabbi Akiva again got him. Amra lo ishto, Mepneima Panecha Zu'afim. So his wife says, what are you all upset about? This Rabbi Akiva, every day he shambles me, every day he knocks me. I can't take it anymore. So the wife of Turnus Rufus says, listen, the God of the Jews, he hates immorality. Give me a chance, and I'm going to go get him to make Avira. Marshat, she's willing to go give herself to commit to Avon in order to trip up Rabbi Akiva. I'll get this God angry at him. Don't worry. I'll go and Turnus Rufus lets his wife go do that. Show you what type of people they were. Natana Reshut. He gave her permission. Then it kashta. She put on makeup and she got dressed up. Valkala, it's Rabbi Akiva. Kishana Rabbi Akiva Ota, when Rabbi Akiva saw her, Rak, he spit on the floor. Sahak, he left. Ubacha, and he cried. Amra lo, ma enuna na tlat milin. She says, what are these three things over here? Amar la shenayim efarish. Two out of the three, I'm going to explain. Shelishi lo efarish. The third thing I can't say. Rakakti al shabbat metipas ruha. I spit on the floor. You coming to trip me up over here? What do you think? You came from a tipasiruha. You came from a putrid drop. I mean, like the saliva that's on the floor. Bechiti, I cried. Al hayshufa de bale barha, because such a beauty of a person. She was a beautiful lady. I cried that one day that this beautiful edifice is going to be buried in the ground. And the Mekubalim explained that he was really talking about that there's going to be a tikkun. She was a Gilgul. The wife of Turnus Rufus was the actual Gilgul of Cosby Batsur. And therefore he saw that she was actually going to make the tikkun. So he was thinking about Hay Shufra, this great lady, the Bale Bar'a. There was talking about Cosby Batsur. When the tikkun is made, then Cosby Batsur is going to be put to rest. The Usahak, why did he laugh? But she safa beruach hakodesh, she saw ruach hakodesh, she'atida litkayir. She was going to convert unhinaselo and marry Rabbi Akiva, and that's what happened. He ended up marrying the wife of Turnus Rufus. He didn't want to tell her. He's laughing. You're coming to me to make isul. You know, one day you're going to be my wife. So he left, but he didn't tell exactly the secret. Amra lo klum yesh teshuvah. So she got the musar. She says, can a person make teshuvah? Amra la, of course. Alchavet gairah v'neset lo Rabbi Akiva v'chnisa lo namon erbe. And what? When she married Rabbi Akiva, she brought in a lot of money to the marriage. So he got rich from the wife of Turnus Rufus as well. And they say that Rabbi Akiva was actually the Gilgul, came back as Zimri Ben Salu. Not 24,000 students, were actually 24,000 people that died in the Magefa. Therefore, this was a whole tikkun again, that Kuzbi should go with Zimri the right way. Instead of they went the wrong way, they should go the right way. And there's a whole arichut on that, but this is what's taking place, so you shouldn't think, what is he marrying the wife of Turnus Rufus for? This was Yanin Givuhim over here, that he had to marry on to make the tikkun of a story that happened already from the times of the Torah. Yeah, after his wife died, or he, simultaneously, you're allowed to take two wives. Okay, the last thing, the way he became wealthy is Umin Katia Bar Shalom. He became wealthy from a fellow called Katia Bar Shalom. Now the Gemara doesn't tell the story. It's actually from Gemara Avodah Zarah. What's the story? Katia Bar Shalom was a Roman. And the Roman Caesar at the time was a big anti-Semite. So one time the Roman Caesar, probably in the Roman Senate, he got up, he said, "Rabotai, I have a question. Person has a piece of skin on his foot, and it's bad. Does he cut the foot off in order to save the rest of the body, or does he live with it?" What he's really trying to say is, there's like a growth in our kingdom, the Jews, and do we leave them and just let them, let them spoil the whole state, or do we cut them out and get rid of them? So one of the Romans were there, Katia Bar Shalom. He came along and said, number one, you can't destroy the Jewish people, you're not going to succeed. Just like the world can't exist without winds, the world cannot exist without Jews. So therefore, if you think we're going to just destroy the Jews, it's not going to happen. And second of all, they're going to call the kingdom that we have over here in Rome, Malchut Kitu'ah. Because now there's going to be a hole in the middle of the kingdom. So you can't wipe out a whole nation. It's not going to look good on our reputation. So he talked him out of his reasoning. Now what happened was, he told him, "You're right. The Caesar agreed. Your logic is good. However, we have a rule. Anybody that defeats the king in an argument, we bury him alive." So that you lost. You won, but you lost. And therefore, he says, "That's it. You got to suffer now. We're going to have to bury you alive." So what happened? When he was going out to die, some lady says, "Woe to the boat, to the ship, that's leaving and didn't pay the tax." What he was saying is, it's a shame, you're going to die, and where are you going? You're going nowhere, you're not Jewish, you're going to die a Roman, you don't have any zichuyot, and you didn't pay the tax, meaning Brit Milah, you don't have a Brit Milah, you're not Jewish. So this tradition is told that he got so inspired to make teshuvah, he went and he, like a contortion, he bent down and bit the orla off and gave himself a brit milah, and he died, meaning with a brit milah. He says, "I paid the tax," he said, before he died. There's the tax of the brit milah. And what? After he died, a bat kol came out of the shamayim and said, "Katia bar shalom, mizuman haya olam haba. I told him he's going straight to olam haba. He gave himself a brit milah. Now, before he died, he turned to Rabbi Akiva and he said, "All my assets go to Rabbi Akiva and his students." Rabbi Akiva interpreted it that half goes to his students, half goes to himself, and therefore became wealthy as a result of this fellow as well, Kathy Abar Shalom. So you see six different episodes after Rabbi Akiva's life where he became wealthy because of it. Comes the Gemara now and continues with some stories. Rav Gamda Yahiv Dalit Zuzeh Lispunae. Rav Gamda, he gave four zoos to the sailors. To bring something back for him. Lo ashkihu, they couldn't find anything. At yuale behon kufa, they ended up bringing back for him a monkey, a kof. Ishtamit. Now, when they're bringing the monkey back to the rabbi, the monkey broke loose and he started to run away from them. So what happened? So he went to a certain cave, the monkey. Hafru batre. And all of a sudden, they dig. He's like jumping on a certain spot, as if something's over there. So the sailors, when they dug where the monkey was, Ashkehua de Rabia, it was sitting al margalieta, an old treasure chest, at pearls. Aitinun le kudlehon. They were very honest. They brought it to the rabbi, Rav Gamda. The sailors didn't have to bring him anything. They didn't give him the monkey yet. The monkey was still theirs. They didn't even transfer ownership of the monkey. But they felt it was the rabbi's mazal. That once they're ready, they decided to give him the monkey. The monkey said, "Okay, there's a treasure over here." It's showing up to end up giving the rabbi the whole treasure. Amra le bat kesal Rabbi Yosef ben Hanania. The daughter of the Caesar once told Rabbi Yosef ben Hanania, "Torah mifuara bichdi mechohar." Such beautiful wisdom, glorified wisdom in such a disgusting vessel. Rabbi Yosef ben Hanania, he was uncomely, he was ugly. He says, "I don't understand, such glorious, you're such a Tamil Hakam, but it's such a vessel that's so ugly." Amale lamdi mibet abuch, I learned from your father. Bemay manihin yain, your father, where does he put his wine? Amale bemaned fahrash, he says, "What do you mean, in earthenware vessels? Cheap vessels." Amada kula alma bifahla. Everybody puts their wine in earthenware vessels. That too bimane de fahla. You also put in earthenware vessels. You're the king. The Caesar should put it in gold. Atun ahitun bimane de kaspa vedaba. You should put it in gold and silver. What do you mean? You're not like everybody else. Azav ramat hamre bimane de kaspa vedaba. She went, she did it. She put it in the gold and silver. What happened? Visare. The wine got spoiled. Amala af oraitakin. So the Gemara fast forwards the story. The father came home, the Caesar drank some wine. Who spoiled my wine? He went to the vats, he saw they were in gold and silver. She came along and said, "The rabbi told me to do it." He came along and said, "I didn't tell her to do it. She asked me a question. I answered her." And the answer is, af oraitakin, that the Torah is similar to the wine. In what? That you'll take something so beautiful, in order to preserve it, you have to keep it in something that is very modest. Just like the wine of the king, you leave it in an earthenware vessel, which is a cheap vessel, and that's how it stays. The more humble a person is, the more the Torah is able to absorb in his system. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Vayika shapirin v'gamidin." So what do you mean? But there's very handsome people that are very smart. Amala iavusanu. If they were uglier, havu gamidin tefer, they'd be smarter. Which means, you're right, it doesn't mean you can't be smart, but the more humble a person is, the more the Torah is able to go in. So he wants to explain on this Gemara that when it says Chokhmah mefu'eret bichli mechohar, it doesn't only mean in the person itself, but it also means bichli mechohar in the surroundings that a person studies. Which means there is definite, direct correlation between the environment that one studies, if it's a modest environment. For example, when God chose the mountain to give the Torah on, He chose Har Sinai. Har Sinai was inconspicuous, it wasn't any landmark of any sort, small mountain. Why? Because part of the Torah's success to go into a person, when he studies in simplicity, without luxury and all sorts of amenities and things like that. That doesn't mean you can't study in luxury, but if you look at the great Sadiqim in the conditions that they studied, the conditions were also Kli Mechohar. They studied in Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Where did he write the Zohar? He was in a cave, underground, with his, up to his head, buried in sand. Could you get worse conditions than that? But
the conditions lent to his success. You shouldn't think that those conditions are counterproductive to Torah. On the contrary, those conditions are suitable for Torah. Because again, that's the humility of the environment. That's the where the Chokhmah Mefu'eret comes out. Okay, a lady came to Rav Yehuda from Nardeha, she came to Beit Din, to the rabbi. V'tchayevat min dina. Okay, and he said that she's chayav, she's guilty, she has to pay. Amra le, so she tells him, Shmuel Rabbach Hachi Dinan. Shmuel, your rabbi, would he judge them? Would he make a ruling like this? She started to dig him. You said I'm guilty. Would your rabbi Shmuel make a ruling like this? Amar la yadat le. You knew Shmuel? Amra le'in, I knew him. Gutsa, he was short. V'rabba kirese, he had a big stomach. Ucham, his skin was black. V'rabba shinen, he had big teeth. Amar la lebizuyak atit. Well, you're coming to embarrass Shmuel, you're talking to, making fun of him. Teve'i teta b'shameta. You should be in Harem. Paka'a umeta. She blew up and she died on the spot. Which means he gave her a curve. What are you making fun of the Shmuel? She was trying to knock Shmuel. So therefore she made fun of him. And therefore she exploded. But the point is that you see over here also now a very interesting point. Many times, Rav Yehuda, Shmuel would refer to Rav Yehuda, his student, as Shinina. We see it throughout the Gemara. Shinina. And Shinina means also the one with big teeth. And therefore he was complimenting him. He was saying that just like I have big teeth, you're like me. You also have big teeth. Shinina, the one with the big teeth. And that's what the lady was also knocking Rav Yehuda as well. And he has big teeth, just like you. So therefore, yeah, you're making fun of the rabbis, boom, on the spot. Okay, now we go back to the interpretation of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, what? That if a person makes a nidr against a tafshil, so tafshil, we said, is a type of food that's normally eaten with bread. So we said one of the things that the fellow is permissible, even though he made a nidr, is to have a certain type of egg. The egg is called betza turmita. So the Gemara wants to know, what is this betza turmita? What is this turmita egg? My betza turmita, Amar Shmuel, avda da'avid la. If you can find a servant that knows how to make this type of egg, shave alfa dinre. It's worth to pay 1,000 dinarim if you can find somebody that knows how to make this dish. Uma'ayil la alfa zimne bimaya hamime. First you take the egg, and you put it 1,000 times in hot water. Then 1,000 times in cold water, add the mizutrat till it becomes very, very small. You could just swallow it. One shot, you're able to swallow it. Meaning the shrinks so small. We eat kiba, and if a person has, let's say, a keev, he has a certain, let's say, an infection in his intestines or whatever it is, sarich aleh, he eats it, and what happens? The infection attaches itself to the egg, and when it comes out, you're able to see what he had. V'echad nafka, when it comes out, v'atya yada asya maysama mitva'ile, which means the doctor could look at the feces when it comes out, and he sees the egg, and whatever is attached to it, he knows what the guy has, and if he's able to give him the right medicine, he knows what medicine to administer because it attaches to itself. Shmuel ava badik nafsha bikulha. Shmuel didn't make this egg, but he used to test his body to see if he had this sickness. He would test it with a certain type of procedure called kulha. The Ran doesn't know exactly what it is, but it was a very, very hard procedure where he used to faint from it. Ad de mitzarin in shebete ale sa'areon. It caused Shmuel so much grief, and caused the family so much grief. When he used to go through this procedure to test himself, they used to pull out the hair from the grief, because it seems he always would faint from it, and things like that, until they would find out exactly what it was. Tiranatam. Okay, we have a Mishnah. Haya ose bichlufsin. Okay, let's discuss. We have a halakha. A worker that's working in a field, the halakha allows him to eat from the fruit, let's say, that he's working. Otherwise it's sad. The guy's working all day long looking at the fruit, they're not going to let him eat. So there's a certain amount, the hadush is that even though they didn't even take ma'asir yet from the fruit, since he's eating aray, he's eating temporary, he's eating a snack, he's not eating bederech keva. So the rabbis allowed him to eat from the fruits of the field. But the hadush of this kibara is only the fruits that he's actually working on. Which means, let's say, next to the way he's working, there's another fruit. He can't go to the other place and eat. He can only eat what he's working on. So it says, he's working, let's say, with min te'enim, figs. Lo yochad bibnot sheva. He cannot eat the bibnot sheva brand. Why? Because these are two different styles of figs. Bibnot sheva, if he's working with bibnot sheva figs, lo yochad bikhlufusin. Then he can eat the other ones. Don't think they're the same item. My chlufsin, what is chlufsin? Mina de te'ene, this is a type of fig, de avdin min nehon lapde, that they make from it a type of dish that's called lapde. Hahu gavra diyev avdan lehavre lagmure alfa mine lapde. Certain fellow, he gave his servant over to his friend, and he paid his friend that his friend should teach his servant 1,000 different recipes how to make labdeh, this dish. He wanted him to, no, labdeh, he wanted to teach him. So he says, he paid his friend, teach my servant 1,000 recipes. He only was able to teach him 800. So he went to Rabbi, took him to Beit Din. I paid my friend to teach him 1,000 recipes, he only taught him 800. So Rabbi was shocked, he didn't know there's such so much recipes for this item. Amar Rabbi Avotenu Amru, our forefathers said in Megillat Echa, Nashinu Torah, we forgot goodness. She's already in the times of the Churban, before the Churban they lived very, very wealthy, and they had all sorts of, you know, pleasures and things like this. So at the time of the Churban, the people, we forgot the good life. So he comes along to me and says, Anu afilu ba'aninu lo ra'inu. We can't say we forgot. We never even saw the good life. And I didn't know that there's still 800 recipes out there for this one dish. Which means there's, he was shocked that there's still so much pleasures, tarugim, that are still left in the world. Rabbi avad lehilulal, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi. Now it talks about the wedding. That Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a very wealthy man. He made a wedding for his son, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi. Katav al bet genana. So, Rabbi, now the Gemara is going to tell stories. Rabbi had a very interesting relationship with one of the rabbis called Bar Kappara. Bar Kappara was really a student of Rabbi, but it was a very unique relationship, like we're going to see now. And the Gemara says that he spent a lot of money on the wedding. The books bring down, it could be anywhere from 240 million? No, which is in our terms like $23 million to $26 million on the wedding itself for his son. And the Mefarshim will say, how could he spend such money? So, first of all, he had to make a wedding because he was the chief rabbi, so he invited all dignitaries and things like that. He had no choice but to make an opulent wedding because of the guests that he was having on the Hashurim. And some say that part of the wedding was the houses that he built for them and all the other dowries and stuff like that. That was part of the expense. But either way, made a big wedding. So it says, Katav al bet genana, so Bar Kappara, he wrote on the chuppah, on top of the chuppah, 24,000 ribu'in dinrin nafku al bet genana din. 240 times 10,000 dinarim was spent on this wedding. Velo azmeneh de Bar Kappara. And he didn't invite Bar Kappara, meaning, and I didn't get invited, which is Bar Kappara wasn't invited. Bar Kappara was a badhan. He used to go to the weddings, he used to make the people laugh. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh was very serious. He didn't laugh. He didn't like to laugh in this world. He was very, very serious. So he didn't want Bar Kappara to come to the wedding. He knew he was going to make jokes, L'shem Shamayim and all that. So he didn't invite him. So Bar Kappara, I mean, he spent $24 million on the wedding. He didn't invite to go to sign. And Bar Kappara wasn't invited. So then Mahat Rabbi realized that Bar Kappara was upset. So he thought, okay, come to the wedding, but don't make me laugh. Don't make too many jokes over here. I don't want to lose my seriousness. Amale, so he tells him like this. If the ones that transgress This is the reward that they get. Le'oso, le'osei le'sono, adahat kama ve'kama. And the ones that follow God's will, well, the more so. Which means, what was he saying? It wasn't giving rebuke to his rabbi. That if this is what the... It sounds like he was telling him, listen, if this is the beracha that the sinners get, could you imagine the beracha that the people that keep the Torah are going to get? Hasfashon wasn't telling his rabbi that. So all he was saying was, it seems at the wedding itself, Rabbi had some irreligious family members that were there, that were very wealthy also. So Bar Kapat took a musar. He said, look, if Ovrer is or no, they have such a beracha, they all say this or no, the ones that are keeping God's will, the ones that we're destined to have tremendous beracha. I mean, he was referring to other people, not Rabbi. Yeah. In any event, as many. At the end, he invited Bar Kapara. He got the hint, he invited him. Amar, le'oseh le'sono ba'olam hazeh, kach, le'olam haba al-had kama v'kama. He said, le'oseh le'sono, if this is the reward that they're getting, like you to be, if they invited him, he said, you're from le'oseh le'sono, this is the way God's rewarding you in olam hazeh. Could you imagine the reward you're going to get in olam haba? Now the Gemara tells us the stories between Bar Kapara and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Yomad mechayech ber Rabbi, any day that Rabbi would laugh, it would bring trouble to the world. It says, as long as Rabbi was serious and didn't laugh, there was beracha. Even though there was no rain, there was the earth was fertile, the beracha came into the product and all that stuff over there. But what happened? One day, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh laughed, already there was a drought, there was problems. It seems his laughter affected the world. He says over here from the Maharsha, Rabbi kibbel al atzmo yisurin. Rabbi accepted upon himself yisurin for himself and the whole generation. So therefore, as long as he was accepting the yisurin, there was kapara for the door. Once already started to enjoy, smile and laugh, already there's no kapara, and already the judgment would come down on the people. Okay? In any event, so what happens? Amale lebar kapara, lo tabtihan, don't make me laugh. V'yavina lach, 40 giruye hite. I'll give you 40, I guess what, measures of hitim. If you don't make me laugh, I'll give you 40 measures of hitim. It's absorbent in the mat of, beracha. Amale lihazimor, so bar kapara says, alright, I accept. However, just make sure the chol giruya de ba'ina shakina, which means when you give me these 40 measures, I pick the measure. Meaning, I can bring the biggest basket, whatever it is. I want to choose the basket, right? So he said, okay, fine. And he was very rich; it didn't matter to him. Shakal de kular abba. So what did he do? He took the biggest basket he could find. Var kapara hafiyeh chufra. But what? The basket has holes in it. So he tarred the inside so none of the wheat fall out. He wants to save every kernel. Then what? The sahfe al reshe. He went, he turned it over, and he put it on his head. He came to the bee with the basket upside down on his head. So what happened? Amar le, so he comes to him, the bet was over, the wager was over. He said, okay, didn't make him laugh. Okay, please, could you owe me 40 measures? Pay me. So what happened? Amar Rabbi, Ahuch Rabbi. Rabbi started laughing because he's coming with the thing upside down. How's he going to fill it up in the basket? He's making jokes. Fill it up. How are you going to fill it up? It's upside down. So he left. Amar Le, Levazar Tignerot Ebadehan. Didn't I warn you? Don't make me laugh. So what happened? Amar Le, Hite Derashin Derashin Akanasim. Now what do you want? I came to get paid. What he was trying to say was, finish now. I can't get paid anymore. That's why I turned it upside down. I knew you were going to laugh. So I turned it upside down because I knew it's not going to be filled. Because I knew when I come to you, you're going to laugh. Which is, you'd rather make them laugh than get the payments. I said, I came to collect the money, but it didn't work out because he made him laugh. So he says over here, the Beru Bahaya explains Bar Kapara's intention. He says, Bar Kapara ya ragil lissameyah at Rabbi Bidvarim. He would make him happy. Ba'itak kabratul Hashem Shamayim. Why? Kedesh yismach Rabbi Shia gadol v'hashuv kamelech. Rabbi was like a king, and he had a lot of pressure and a lot of stress from running the nation, things like that. So the intention of Bar Kapara was make him laugh a little, make him a little more, to become a little more happy. And why? Umitoch asimcha תבנית בנית ותכונן תורתו. His Torah will come out more, you know, calmly and fluently, like he says, when they got it from Sinai. When they got the Torah from Sinai, it was b'sim'a. So it was all l'shem shamayim, to give Rabbi the peace of mind and tranquility, to, you know, to be able to, just like we read in the Nevi'im many times, before David HaMelech would get prophecy, he had to go b'sim'a. He would play music, and so on and so forth, ba'ikim again and again, in order to, b'ti'a alav ruach Hashem. Same thing over here. The simha would put Rabbi in a certain mood, but he was very strict on himself. He didn't want to have any simha, he accepted upon himself, yisurin and things like that. But bar kapara, hell no. Rabbi has to have even a little habit. But every over here was working, obviously, with L'shem Shamayim. Like we saw, that the day he left, already put anut came into the world.